So this sugya carries over really from Ayin Vav and Beis to Ayin Zayin and Aleph. The Mishnah says that the shear for being chayav for carrying a measurement of wine into a reshus harabim is kedei mezigas hakos. Hamotzi yayin kedei mezigas hakos. This is undiluted wine that we're talking about. So the Gemara says tana kedei mezigas kos yofe. This is the amount of undiluted wine that would be diluted to create a kos yafeh. My kos yafeh kos shabracha. That's a kos of birchas hamazon that has to be properly adorned and properly prepared. So Rav Nachum Namar Rabba Baravua kos shabracha tzorek sheheba rover rabias. So what is the shear? What is this amount of undiluted wine that would be the amount placed into a kosher bracha? So he says it's a rover revius. It's one quarter of a revius. So both Rashi and Tosos point out that when we refer to rover revius, we're referring to a revius halug. We're not a revius hakav, but rather a revius halug. It's one quarter of a lug. Remember that we've discussed before the ratio proportions of different shiurim. I've given you the mnemonic of Kaskal of Yagudu, right? How are you? And the proportion of a kav to a lug is that there are four lugim in a kav, and the proportion of a beitza to a lug is that there are six Beitzim in a lug. So when we say Rebiyis, we don't mean that it is a Rebiyis Hakav, which would basically be a full lug, but rather we mean that it's a Rebiyis Halug. Now, what is a lug? So we said that a lug is six Beitzim. So if a lug is six Beitzim and the Rebiyis that we're talking about is a Rebiyis of a lug, so that would be 1.5 beitzim, approximately 1.5 beitzim. A rover revius, of course, is one quarter of that amount. So the undiluted amount of wine that one would be a chayav for carrying into a reshus harabim would be one quarter of 1.5, which is what, 3.75, I think, if you do the math. That would be 0.375 of a beitza. So a full revius is 1.5 beitzim, and a rover revius would be 0.375 of a beitza. So it's a very small amount. Kedeshim zagenu v'yamod revius. So this amount gets you to a revius, and that's based on the proportion of dilution that existed in those days. Amarava avananami tanina amotzi yayin kedei mezigas kos. That if you are motzi yayin, then it is the amount of mezigas kos. V'tani Allah kedei mezigas kos yape. V'rava l'taime says the Gemara, da amarava kochamad lo dori achatlas maya lav chamaru. So now the Gemara says that this is Rava l'taime, because Rava says that the proportion of dilution that's necessary is three parts water and one part wine. That's the amount of dilution that they needed for their strong wines. In order for it to be basically drinkable, you needed three parts water and one part wine. Now, it could be that the dilution could be greater than that. It could be four parts water or five parts water, as long as it's less than six parts water. But at the very least, it has to be three parts water to one part wine. That is basically Rava Shita. So Abaye casts questions on Rava Shita because Abaye says that we find elsewhere that it doesn't necessarily add up to this proportion per se, that it's going to be a revius because there is one Mishnah that indicates that dilution is two parts water to one part wine. And also he says why would this be a raya from our Mishnah, the fact that you're chayav for rover revius, and generally speaking, you're chayav for taking out mashkin if it's only a revius. So that seems to be the raya, the argument the rover is making. But he says that makes sense if you have the three parts water that are added to the one part of wine, that's the rover revius. But here, the three parts water are not there. Beyond Mayim, Makadim, and Starfin, the water is somewhere else. It's in a jug somewhere. The water is not being combined with the wine. So why then is it clear necessarily that the Rover Rebius would be increased to a full Rebius through three parts of water as opposed to one part wine in order to be chayav in our Mishnah? Maybe you're chayav for a small amount, Rover Rebius, even if it doesn't add up to a full Rebius of a wine when it is fully diluted. So Rava gives an answer to the two kashas of Abaye that are both relevant halacha lemaisa. The first answer the Rava says is hadikar mishnei chokemayim mechayayin. The fact that there is a Mishnah that says that sometimes the proportion of dilution is different, that you don't need as much water to dilute, and it doesn't have to be three parts water to one part wine. That is minayayin asheroni. That's talking specifically about a wine which is a sheroni wine. Yayin asheroni, lechud derapi. That is in its separate category by itself because it's weaker wine. Since it's weaker wine, it doesn't need as much dilution. So it only needs, in this particular case, it doesn't need as much dilution. It doesn't need 75% dilution. If it has 66% dilution, that's also good. He gives another teretz that's not relevant to the Yayin Sheroni question for our purposes. And then for the second kasha, the kamis mayim bekado umitstarpin, that the mayim is in a is mikado mitstarpin, that it's in a jug, and it's not. So what relevance is it to us that if you added it to the wine, and then you would get the necessary shear for drinking the wine? We care about taking out the undiluted wine by itself. So he says, even though the wine that you chayev for in Shabbos is the only the rover is without dilution, that's because the in Shabbos midi the chashiv in v'hainami ha-chashiv. That's because the rover Rebius is considered to be chashiv in its own right, because this is the amount that when you add water, you're going to have drinkable wine. So since the rover Rebius is the amount that's already going to be chashiv, that's the amount that when you add water to it, you're going to have your Rebius wine. For Kiddush purposes, for Birchas HaMazon, for Koshel Bracha purposes. Therefore, since it's Chashuv, so that is good enough. So, with respect to the first point that's made by Rava, we see that there are different wines, that undiluted wines, that require different proportions of Meziga, different proportions of dilution. And it could be that if you have a wine that already is very, very weak, then maybe it does not behoove you to dilute it at all. This is relevant to the following question that's posed by Tosfos on Dav Ayin Vav Amud Beis, when Tosfos says, Kedeshim Zagenu V'yaman HaRevius, so Tosfos says, Mashva the Kosha Bracha Ton Meziga. That is Mashva from our entire sugya, that you need some sort of a meziga in order for the wine to be able to be consumed. Like, for example, for the kosher bracha, the birchas hamazon requires meziga. So we ask the kasha, the Gemara in bracha says that there are different characteristics of kosher bracha, asara dvarim nemru b'kosher bracha, and one of them is that it's chai. It needs hadacha, shtipa, you have to rinse it, right? And it also has to be chai. It has to be undiluted. So how can we say that kosher bracha requires dilution? So he quotes Rabbeinu Tam as saying that you start off with undiluted wine, and then you add more water into it during Birchas Haaretz, in the middle of benching. That's that you start off chai, and you make it mazuk. And then Tosfos quotes the Bnei Narbuna, who have a different explanation, and they say, no, the chai doesn't go on the wine at all. In fact, the wine doesn't necessarily require dilution. It's going on the coast, just like shtipa v'hadacha, is going on the coast. So too, chai is going on the coast, and it means the coast has to be fully alive, that it has to be shulling, that it can't be chipped away at all. Can't even have the basis, the basis, the base of the coast, that it comes together with the coast, can't be chipped away. Everything has to be intact, everything has to be perfect. That's how he understands chai. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, so Shulchan Aruch in Simen Reish Pei, Kuf Pei Gimel, Shulchan Aruch and Simon Kuf Pei Gimel Sif Gimel basically quotes Rabbeinu Tam the halacha, that the halacha is that you should dilute it, but you start off the beginning of benching without the dilution, and then you add water in Birchas Haaretz. So says the Rama, and this is very important. The Rama says that this is not relevant to us. Why is it not relevant to us? It's very important. Lashon. Let me just open up to it. Kuf Bei Pei Gimel. Says the Ramah. Kuf Bei Gimel. Sith base. V'yesh omrim de'im hayayin eno chazak ein tzarach lemozgo. That if the wine is not chazak, that the wine is not strong to begin with, so you don't need to do meziga. You don't do meziga at the beginning of benching. You don't do meziga in Birchas Haaretz either. So then, if you don't follow Rabbeinu Tam, what do you do? So he says, v'chein noegin v'elu ha'aratzos. That is, in fact, our minog in our lands. He says that we make sure that we do not do meziga with our kosos, that they do not require meziga. So how are we mekayim the notion of chai? So you look in the next sif in the mechaber. So the next sif, the Shulchan Aruch, also paskins like the other day in Tosos. Paskins like both days. Paskins like the Bnei Nabuna as well. Tzorach la'akso achar kosholing, that you have to make sure that the kos is completely sharp. So that's how we're mekayim the union of chai. But this notion that our wines don't require dilution. This is also echoed by Rabbeinu Yonah at the end of Perek Vav in Brachos. Rabbeinu Yonah says different types of wine require different measurements of dilution. It's not always going to be three parts water, one part wine. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, quoting the Eliyahu Rabbah in Simen Reish Beis Sifah Yud Gimel, the Aruch HaShulchan, he says that since our wines basically already are fit to drink and they also already have a certain amount of dilution before we even acquire them, you cannot add any water. He says, if you add any water, so then it's a question as to whether they still have the status of wine for Beretri Agapin purposes. So comes along the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim in Simen Reish Dalid, Sipha Tezayin, says that that can't be the case. That's only if the majority is water. The majority is water, so then you're going to have a problem. But if you just put in a little bit of water, even with our wines, it's not going to be a problem. Now, again, that doesn't necessarily resolve the issue completely. If you want to add a little bit of water to your wine, let's say on Pesach night, somebody has difficulty drinking pure wine, so they want to drink wine and add a little bit of water, right, to their wine. So, number one, you have the problem, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, the Eliyahu Rabbah, that since our wines are fit to drink, any type of meziga becomes problematic. But even according to the Prima Gadim, who says it's only a problem if you have a rov mayim, remember that you're not starting off basically with a completely intact, undiluted wine. You're starting off with a wine that is somewhat diluted. So at some point in time, you're going to reach the level in which you're going to have a ratio that could be problematic, even from the Prima Gadim's perspective. You don't know at what point it's going to be Rubo Mayim. You don't know at what point you're going to reach that level of Rubo Mayim, since you're already starting out with a certain amount of water that is included in the dilution. So therefore, there is a problem with adding water to any type of wine, bisman hazeh, if somebody really has difficulty drinking wine, say, on Pesach night, then it's probably better for them to drink grape juice than to drink a wine in which you've added water, because it's very difficult to calculate exactly how much water is going to be okay, where you're not going to pass the threshold of where it no longer really has the status of wine for our purposes. So that's in terms of the dilution issue. So we see that there are different proportions of dilution that are appropriate for different wines, and our wines already start off with a certain amount of dilution, and that's why, in fact, we don't do meziga, even for the Birchas HaKos, where there is this notion that every single yayin requires today meziga HaKos. So we follow the Ramah that v'chei nogin be'elu ha'aratzos, that we don't require this notion of meziga, and in fact, meziga, if anything, could be somewhat problematic. But what about this other point in the Gemara? The other thing that was stated in the Gemara is that we see that le'inyan Shabbos, since Rova Revius, is already considered to be chashuv. By the way, when we talk about a rabias of wine, so we said that's rabias haluk. So we said that's what? 1.5 beitzim. How much is that? So we assume that what a beitza is like 2 kezaisim, and 1.5 would be like 3 kezaisim. So if you assume that a kezais is about 1 ounce, so 1.5 beitzim generally is assumed to be approximately 3 ounces. Some say 3.3 ounces. There's a whole question how you measure our beitzim. The Nota B'Yuda claim that our beitzim are half the size of what the beitzim used to be. There's a whole arichas on that. But assuming that it's for, you know, even daraisa purposes, that we're going to be stringent, we would generally assume that 3 ounces or so is what would constitute a rabias. How much do you have to have in your kos in order to make a kiddush? So Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Nozir. Rashi on the top of Ayin Zayin and Aleph quotes from the different rabios and the general shear of rabias for all kinds of different inyanim. We say is that it is rabias halug, as Rashi points out. And the Gemara in Pesachim says that the amount that you need, obviously, for kiddush as well, is a rabias. You need a chashav shir of a rabias. How much do you have to drink of that rabias? The Gemara in Pesachim and Daf Kuvav says that you need malei lugmav. What's malei lugmav? So malei lugmav, we assume means kimlo lugmav, that it looks like when you swish the wine over to one cheek, that you can see that it looks like the cheek is full, even if it's not completely full. How much is that? That we assume is less than a rabias. A real malo lugmav, we assume, is more than a rabias, Tosus points out, but it's kimlo lugmav. That's the amount, and that's the amount which is rov rabias, it's assumed, that it's basically the majority of a rabias. So if a rabias is approximately 3 ounces, so you'd have to drink approximately 1.6 ounces. And now that could be split amongst the various people at the table. You don't have to drink all of it yourself. You drink a little bit, and other people drink a little bit, and altogether it comes out to 1.6 ounces or so that everybody drinks, so that would be considered to be sufficient. So the Taz in Simen Reish Yud Sif Katan Aleph in the Shulchan Aruch, the Taz says that he's talking about the dinim of when you make a bracha achrona. So for Mashkin, the Shulchan Aruch says, you make a bracha achrona if you drink a rabias, right? For Oakland, it's a kezias, and for Mashkin, you have to drink a rabias. So he says, what about if you drink whiskey? Yayin sarf. What if you're going to drink whiskey? So it's hard to drink 3 ounces of whiskey, at least for us. A purebred Russian, it's not such a big deal. But for us to drink, you know, that amount of whiskey, so that's a big deal. So the Taz says that this amount doesn't necessarily have to be the same for every single beverage. Just like the Gemara in Shabbos said that for Hotzah purposes, something that's chashuv, I have the amount of undiluted wine, though you're not going to drink it undiluted, but it has a chashivas, because this is the amount that you're going to dilute to have your cup of wine for kosher bracha. So that's a sheer Hotzah. So he says, so whenever you have a midi de chashiv, you have something that for its purposes, this is the amount that you use, so that's the amount that you would make a bracha achrona upon. So he says, even if it's a small amount of whiskey, if this is the amount of whiskey that people would normally consume, so then it would be okay to make, then you would make a bracha achrona on that amount of whiskey. This has all kinds of implications with respect to other beverages as well that people might sip, even in terms of the manner in which people drink something, as if something is normally sipped as opposed to consumed all at once. There's some relevance to the coffee discussion, but we won't focus upon that right now. Rabbi Yechiel Goldhaber, who's now becoming a mumche in Minhage Yisrael, has a whole arichos on coffee issues that he discusses. The Shitos who say that since it's drunk differently, even if it's not drunk in the same manner or the same speed as other drinks, you might still say a bracha achrona. There are certain Shitos in Poskim who say that even if it's not drunk all at once. Our general minhag when it comes to coffee is that we will leave enough of a shear over, you know, towards the end, and then, you know, when it cools down, and then drink that all at once. You have like a rabias, which is drunk all at once, but that's a separate discussion. But in terms of the whiskey discussion, in terms of the basic shear, so he says this has a shear of hashivas, and therefore you make a bracha achrona. So the Eshel Avram in Hilchos Kiddush in Reish Ayin Beis, or Ayin Reish Beis, in Hilchos Shabbos says that he thinks that you can make the argument to rely upon this taz of the Inyan Kiddush. That if somebody is making Kiddush, normally you need a Revias of Yayin, but let's say the person makes Kiddush on Chomer Medina. That itself is a question. Can you make Kiddush on Chomer Medina? Do you need Dafka Yayin? So Rambam holds you need Dafka Yayin. There's nothing to discuss. The taz holds that if you're living in a place where everybody drinks, is more comfortable with drinking whiskey rather than wine. So even though when it comes to Kiddush at night, which is the Araisa, we're machmir, that you have to have Dafka Yayin. So since Kiddush during the day is only Midrabanan, so even though, strictly speaking, it should have been Mahadri after Yayin, after the general custom is that people drink whiskey, so Taz thinks that it's okay to drink whiskey. The Mishnah Berurah isn't so excited about that. He says this is only if you live in a place where Yayin is not found, where there's very little wine. There's no kosher wine. We don't live like that anymore. Nowadays, like, you walk into a wine store, half the wines are kosher, right? I mean, it's an unbelievable quantity of kosher wines and availability. Mishnah Berurah says even if it's expensive, that's considered to be available. We don't say that's unavailable. So Mishnah Berurah doesn't like the idea of using Chomer Medina for Kiddush even on Shabbos day, but the Taz is comfortable with Kiddush on Shabbos day. So many communities developed a widespread practice where people would make Kiddush on Chomer Medina. So when you make the Kiddush, do you need a full shear Revias? Revias is a lot to gulp down in terms of whiskey. So says the Eish Lavram, based on this Taz, maybe you don't need a full Revias. Maybe it's sufficient if you just drink the amount of whiskey that people would normally drink. However, he says he's not so excited about it, and he thinks certainly that L'chatchila, one should not rely upon this, and one should try to have a full Revias. And the Mishnah Berurah also paskins against the Taz, or against the truth, some say, that even the Taz wouldn't have held this way with respect to Kiddush and Shabbos. He just holds this way with respect to Bracha Achronim. Rabbi Yosef has that suggestion in his Tshuvos, that maybe the Taz only held this way with respect to Bracha Achronim. So Rabbi Yosef also brings down the name of many, you should make sure if you're going to make a Kiddush on whiskey or liquor, Shabbos day, that you should have a full Revias, and if you can't drink it all yourself, so you can split it amongst your friends. As long as amongst everybody it adds up to a Kimlo Lugmav, it adds up to a little bit more than 1.5 ounces, so then you're going to be okay. Yes?
I'm going to put the Mekilim for Kiddush. Does that mean you still have to make the Kiddush itself on a Revias and only drink the lesser amount? Or you can also make Kiddush on, like, amount, like,
he's the Eish Lavam applying the Taz to Hilchos Kiddush seems to hold that you wouldn't even need a Revias altogether. You would just need this small amount, whatever it is. It's not Rova Revias per se. It's whatever is the amount that people would typically utilize in order to drink a shot of whiskey. Maybe it's a shot glass. Maybe it's how much is a shot glass? A shot glass is about an ounce, something like that. About an ounce. That's why everybody uses it on Yom Kippur, right? So it's about when there's a cholah situation. So it's about an ounce. So maybe according to the shita, so that would be the amount that would be appropriate to make Kiddush. As I said, the Mishnah Berurah himself rejects this possibility, but it is certainly mentioned at least in the poskim based upon this Gemara. Yes.
Yeah. Question. When you said the
Eish
Lavram, did you mean the Prima
Gadim,
or is the Eish
Lavram
from Buchach? Which one? Buchach. Okay. You said the Mishnah Berurah rejects this. Is that also in the Siman, you said, with Klup? Which Siman is that where the Mishnah Berurah rejects the Sheetah from the... Is it
same in the same Sim. Same Sim. Right. You're looking Reisha in base. I believe that's where the Mishnah Berurah is found.
You mean the Klup of Kiddush? Because you were quoting the Taz earlier.
Yes. Well, of course, the Taz appears with respect to Brachos of Bracha Achrona. That's correct.
The Mishnah
Berurah
is in Reishon Beis.
Yeah.
All right. Can I ask you a question from what you said earlier?
Sure.
Okay, with the benching, you said about...
I'll read you the Lashon of the Mishnah Berurah. Just to make an honest man out of me, right? So he says, Im Chaviv lo Yayin Tsaruf. He says, if a person really prefers the whiskey, so then he's prepared to be makel like the Taz in such a case where the person prefers it during the daytime Kiddush. Oh, so he's no makel with respect to the daytime Kiddush like the Taz. Yochel HaKayish lo b'yom l'chatzlim b'medina senu shulchom ha-medina ach shizoyer likach kok maksik revius, kos maksik revius. You should be careful to take a kos which is maksik revius v'lishtos m'menu m'lo lukmav shuro revius. Over the habit of a shas of chakshin yokolishtos kolon lugmav veino yainu shar mashkin, and if the in the event that you can't drink a full kolon lugmav or over vias and you don't have a wine, afilu shtias kol mesubin mitstafim lo lugmav. So then he says that you can utilize all the mesubin, everybody in the room to join, as I mentioned before, to complete the shear of melo lugmav. Second. Now, you'll say, the Mishnah Berurah is more makel than I represented him, because he says that if it's chaviv, then during the daytime you can use it. You can use the yayin sarab, but you have to be medakti, because he says b'medina senu shulchama medina. And earlier on, in sif katan chav dalid in siman ayin reish beis, the Mishnah Berurah says b'davka b'makom tahavi chama medina. He says, when can you be Mekadesh al Sheikhar? B'makom Dabi Chama Medina. So now he's saying, in our Medina, it is Chama Medina. But what is his definition of Chama Medina? Da'hainu she'ein yayin matzoi b'chol ha'ir b'shana hazu b'ikar sh'tiyasanu m'sheikha v'sha mashkin. That's in a place where the wine is not matzoi b'chol ha'ir during this year. I guess there were different years with different availabilities of wine. And the ikar sh'tiyasan and most of the drinking were from m'sheikha v'sha mashkin. So it sounds like Mishnah Berurah that if you live in a place where the yayin is matzoi, and the ikar shtia is not from whiskey and spirits, that you really shouldn't be makel even during Shabbos day. So you have to read that particular Mishnah Berurah that I quoted before in context.
In case of something you said earlier, yes. With the shita and the Balei Tosfot, you mentioned about being mosaic the yayin in the Birkas HaMazel. So they're dealing with the kosher bracha, then is malay. So it means that the cup wouldn't be malay, and then you dilute
it. Shalim, the kosher has to be shalim. In other words, the name and avuna say that's pshat.
Yeah, well, let's go slowly. There's a din of chai, so they say that chai means shalim. But there's a different din in kosher bracha that has to be malay.
Yes.
So now, if I'm going to dilute it in birchas haaretz, so presumably it's not malay when I start off the benching. Is that right or wrong?
Yeah.
So the cup will be, let's say,
you're going to make it malay.
Right. So in other words, like if the din of the Gemara is one part wine, three parts water, so the cup will be less than half filled, and then I'll fill it up in the middle of the benching. The din of the Gemara, the way that the way that the Balei Tosfot are saying.
That's right. Here's what the Mechaber says in Kof Pei Gimel Sif Beis. Yitin ayayin l'socho chai ad shemagia l'birchas haaretz ve'az mozgo. And at that point in time, you should be mosaic at the coast. That's when they in places where meziga was practiced, right? In order, the reason why it was done in Birchas Haaretz was to show the Shevach Haaretz. How does it show the Shevach Haaretz? Anybody? When you do it with Birchas Haaretz.
The wine is so strong.
Yeah, so it shows that the Yayin is Chazak. It shows that the Yayin is strong. That it requires a Meziga B'mayim. Exactly right.
Now you mentioned the Aruch HaShulchan that you can't add water. Where is that Aruch HaShulchan that you can't add water?
That Aruch HaShulchan is in Siman Reish Beis, Yud Gimel in the Aruch HaShulchan. All right?
Thank you.
Okay, good. Any other questions? We'll stop here. Okay,
thank you very much.